Yeah, okay, there it is, showed up. Good morning, glad to be here. I always like to start with a view out my office window. This was late last summer and an early moonrise, one of those good days to be alive, so there it is, there's the Oregon Mountains. And then I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Bobby Harden, who just spoke with you, and Chris Delholm from SRRC, on the topic of cryogenically treated ginseng ware. And this is the second season, and we're still in the process, so this is really just a progress report, just to bring you up to date. I'd also like to acknowledge Mike Pate, Downriver Cryogenics. He's the one that's been treating the saws for us. And then, of course, Jonathan McBride at Silver Creek Gin. I think Jonathan McBride, he gets a lot of tests run at his gin. He's an excellent cooperator. Just to remind you what the cryogenic treatment is, first of all, the saws have to be completely degreased, and then they cool down to, that should be minus 360 degrees F, I don't know what that square box is, for 48 hours, so it sits there in liquid nitrogen for quite a while, and then it's brought up to room temperature. There are two 10-hour heat cycles, the 310 degrees Fahrenheit with cooling to room temperature in between. So this is about a four-day process to get this done. You may remember I had a starting test report last year. Yuko Gin had already finished. They run Continental stands, and they're of course they start earlier than most folks. And we had done a preliminary report on them. Meadow Farmers Co-op in Meadow, Texas, and McGehee Produce were still running. And so, just to sort of bring you up to date to how that ended. The fiber data are inconclusive from all three tests across the belt. Basically, we didn't see a great deal of difference that we thought could be attributed to saw wear. And we also determined we needed to take seed data. We neglected to do that for Lenders content and that sort of thing in the first test. One of those, oh gee, that was a dumb thing kind of thing. So we elected to run the test again. And this time, I want to just to show you the saws. This is from Meadow. Meadow-S means Meadow Gin Standard Treatment. In other words, just what you'd normally buy off the shelf. What we did, the way I evaluated these, this is a very visual evaluation. These are 170 saw stands, and we took the stack of saws and sort of randomly took 10 saws out of each stack and looked at them. And these are two separate saws that are kind of the average of what I saw. As far as damage, and what you'll see here, where's my pointer? Come on, we can do. There it is. This is after 6,500 bales of strip cotton. You start seeing some broken teeth. There were some saws that were much worse than this, and there were saws like here that were better, just a few broken teeth. So this is kind of what we saw after 6,500 bales of strip at Meadow. This is the test saw at Meadow. These did not have nearly as many broken teeth. There was obvious wear. You could see there was sort of a bird beak kind of wear. The tips were being worn down. Here's a partially broken tooth here. But in general, I would have to say after 6,500 bales that the test saws, the cryogenically treated saws, were standing up better than the standard. Here's a McGehee. Same thing, the standard. After 8,000 bales of picked, now they didn't. They had a mechanical problem, had a shaft failure on the mandrel, a bearing failure damaged the shaft, and so we only ran these for about 8,000 bales. Kind of wear that you would expect. There's a tip broken here. One of the things I did notice, and some of them were much worse. You see these tips that are sort of bent back. There's a couple here. Some of the saws were much worse than that. Just sort of starting to fail, but not quite gone yet. But nevertheless, that's not a good condition for a gin saw. Now, we ran the test saws at McGehee for 13,800 bales. And here you see, fairly good, what you'd expect. Teeth are not particularly worn. There's a broken tooth there and a broken tooth here. The ginner, when he took them out, said he would still be running these saws if he would not normally take them out as yet. So that kind of brings you up to date where we are. This is where we were, and we decided to run at Silver Creek. Silver Creek is a unique gin in some ways, and I'll show you some pictures here soon, but it's basically two gins under one roof. They have Luma stands both sides, two stands running to separate presses. And so what we did is we put a test, a treated saw set in one side and a standard saw set and the same in the other side. And these are all from the same saw lot. We wanted to make everything as the same as much as possible. What we found out in the test previous before, when you test across the belt, there's so much variability from cotton and gins and sort of thing, it's hard to draw concrete conclusions. So we went to Silver Creek, and what the test method was, we took seed samples at each stand at various times through the ginning season, 10 subsamples each time. At the same time, we took lint samples prior to lint cleaning, and then we wanted to evaluate seed for linters and damage, and that data is not yet available. As been earlier mentioned, the seed data takes a long time. We don't have that back yet. And we wanted to evaluate the lint samples by APHIS and HVI. Basically, at the end of the test season, both the control and test saws were in such good condition that we will run them again. We'll continue a start next season with them. And so I want the ginner to run those saws, both test and standard saws, as long as he normally would in any given year. So hopefully we will have some life cycle data next year. That's really what we were shooting for. Just to let you know what this gin looks like, this is the north stand. There's two stands on the north. This is Jonathan McBride and, of course, Bobby. This is the stand that the test saws were in. This is the south side, stands one and two. The control saws were in this stand, and the test saws were in this one. This one, again, Mr. McBride. One of the unique things about this gin is it has double feeders stacked over the saw gin stands, which I thought was kind of interesting for cleaning. This is sort of a view down the way, both the stands on both sides, the presses at the end. Got a lot of one thing Mr. McBride has in his gin is a lot of room. It's very difficult to take pictures of saws within a gin stand, but this is a shot of them, and I actually got them mixed up. I have two pictures. One of them was a standard, and one of them was a test. I don't remember which is which, but they both look not too different. This is after, on the north side, after 11,000 bales, and you can see you see that pretty uniform looking, pretty in here. I don't see any broken teeth particularly, or pretty sharp. And if you run your hand over the saws, they grab you. This is the other stand, whether it's control or test. Again, I got mixed up and I don't remember. But again, they look good, and we're going to be continuing to run these. Now, a little bit about quality data. As I said, the fiber data from the previous test was kind of inconclusive. But looking at APHIS measurement on the north side and the south side, the NEPs per gram were just not different. Upper quartile length, again, no significant differences. Short fiber was pretty low, and the NEPs levels were pretty low. Same for the south side set. So really no difference on APHIS at this point. What we hope to see is these gin saw teeth wear to see if there's a divergence in the fiber quality between. We're not that far along in the test yet. HVI measurements pretty much the same thing. Upper half mean. Really no significant difference. And again, these are averages through the whole year. All of the fiber data was averaged, so there are different varieties, all kinds of things averaged in here. But I was interested in looking at the quality, looking at the length and the uniformity of these varieties. They're much higher than they used to be in my memory a number of years ago. So very good quality cotton being ginned there at Silver Creek. But again, yet no significant differences at this point. Conclusions, we'll analyze the seed data once that's available, and we're going to continue to run both the control and test saws during the next season. The north side stands will start next season after running 11,000 bales per stand this prior season, and the south side after about 9,500. Their cotton supply was such that they shut down the south side and just finished the season on the north side is the reason for the bale difference there. But I've been pleased with the performance of the equipment up thus far. And as I like to conclude, here are my granddaughters, all five of them. This is last summer at the ranch, and one of them there is not too happy about the picture, but the rest of them seem to be pretty content. And here are my two grandsons. They're very active young guys. And so that's the end of my presentation. Thank you. Any questions?
Any questions for Ed?
I'm going to put my grandsons back up there while we're doing that.
A little bit on cost.
Go ahead. Yeah, Harrison?
I was going to ask you, your conclusion really never said whether you, do you think there are some benefits from.
I think there, in observing what we did last year, I think there's some wear durability benefits for the treated. I don't know life cycle yet. That's part of the problem that occurred last year. We had, because of mechanical failures, I was not able to make a life cycle determination. Hopefully this test, we will. Andy, I think you had a question.
What about cost?
Cost, in talking to Mr. Pate, it depends, of course, on the number that you treat. And he was saying something like $2 a saw if you treated him in quantity, something of that nature.
Increased cost.
Yeah. So, in addition, so if you pay $5 for a standard saw, it costs you $7, something like that. Now, depending on, of course, we tested both Continental and Lummus gins and whatever variation saw cost there might be, just basic, but somewhere around $2.
I wonder if there's any difference in some of the thicker thickness of the saw.
There could be. The question was, is there any difference in the thickness of the saw? One comment in the Silver Creek gin on the two on the end saws, we put the thicker saws on the end, the 40 thousandths as opposed to the 37. So I'm sure if the thicker the saw, the more durable it is. But at this point, we don't see anything, and we're really not testing that. Anything else? Sum up. All right, I still have time. That's good. All right, thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ian.